We want to bring in right now Demetra Smith. She is the second vice president of the Sonoma County Santa Rosa NAACP chapter 1074B. Demetra, welcome to the show. Thank you for being with us this morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
I really appreciate your time this morning. We thought it was really important to talk about the shifts that we're hopefully making in the right direction to be more inclusionary, to provide more diversity, and to help out with equity and equitability in improving our housing and making it more available to people of all colors and persuasions. Perhaps you should give us a report on how we did, which was not great, and how we're going to be doing better.
Yeah, thank you. I got to tell you that it's not great, and it's actually an emergency situation. And so I'm here to talk about the data on Black housing, the state of Black housing within Sonoma County, and to connect that back to the history of exclusion, racial exclusion within Sonoma Valley and the county at large. So just some of the data right now. Black renters face the highest housing burden in Sonoma County at 68%. Black residents make up just 2% of the population, yet 6% of the unsheltered community, second only to Native Americans at 9%.
Wow.
We really see the link between housing instability and reduced health outcomes. There's many studies showing this. And that data is incredibly concerning when we look at the recent 2021 Portrait of Sonoma data showing that Black residents now live an average of 10 years less than any other racial or ethnic group in the county. Human Development Index has decreased well below the state and national levels. So, you know, by now most of us are familiar with the illegality of past policies like redlining, and that was, of course, a federal program. But we haven't looked enough at the exclusionary policies around zoning and land use that are really controlled at the local level, and that are really just within the jurisdiction of the local cities and councils. So, I have requested from previous city councils to investigate and produce the documents that really defined racial exclusion in Sonoma Valley, whether that was, an ordinance keeping Blacks and Chinese and Native Americans and Mexicans at the time, Latinx folks, out of the city after dark, or barring them from not only buying but renting. So those documents likely exist. They should be produced by the city. The city should admit that these previous policies were in place, and offer an apology for them, and then begin to look at, you know, what tangible things do we need to do to actually begin to reverse these policies. So when we look at the idea and the language that comes up around town character and things of that nature, you know, I'm stating to you that the narrative behind these kinds of this terminology is rooted in anti-Blackness and is rooted in structural racism. And so in a little town like Sonoma Valley, when you have this, you've had this generational mingling between wealthy white landowners, business interests, and the political elements, you've had an exclusionary definition of the town. And what I'm saying to you this morning is that I feel that our current problem with the lack of affordable housing is really rooted in that, because the town was not allowed to develop in a way that would have included more diverse, not only population, but types of housing.
Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about what are some of the steps, aside from the fact that perhaps maybe the city historian can start digging out those documents that you're looking for from city council records. I'm not sure if that's how it works, but I know you're looking for those records to help rectify the exclusionary practices of the past. Going forward, are we making any progress in terms of not just changing the verbiage and the lexicon in our policies that we're writing going forward, but are we starting to see any forward motion? Because you just mentioned 2% of the county's population, but 6% of the housing challenged here in the county. That's still in the wrong direction. We need to get it back to at least a balanced 2%. Are we making any inroads in the other direction?
Well, you know, it is challenging, and that now, you know, we're talking about Sonoma County now and not Sonoma
right.
Valley, because there's nothing to point to within Sonoma Valley, because there hasn't really been, you know, an admittance and an understanding of the fact that there have been policies in place which kept BIPOC people from being able to live in the valley. And so we can't really mm-hmm. address the steps that have been taken, because we haven't even really begun to discuss the issue.
Okay.
And that's what I'm here for today. But within Sonoma County, again, there's really been a stymieing of this discussion. So, you know, if we look at Sonoma Valley, you know, we're talking a lot about SB9. Again, you know, Sonoma is on a list of cities that the Housing and Community Development Department, you know, is if they haven't already, you know, sending a letter to with regard to these barriers to implementation of SB9. And again, I feel that as most of the folks that have talked about affordable housing within the context of city council meetings or planning commission meetings, those are folks that live outside of the city of Sonoma, usually. And so because Sonoma functions within a kind of, it's like an invisible gated community. So, you know, I've lived in the Sonoma Valley since 2001. I am a business owner, I am a homeowner, I am also a landlord, and I've been a renter. And so I have seen how there is a lack of access. Mm-hmm. You know, just basically, I mean, if we even look at like these committees, these commissions, you know, I welcome the city for opening up a space to somebody that's not a city resident, but if there's only one voice that's outside of the city limits, that's not really going to change much. And so, you know, if I personally am unable to buy a home in Sonoma or rent, be rented to in Sonoma, then there's no way for me to vote. There's no way for me to, you know, run for office. And yet so much of the labor that is in the unincorporated county is making the city run with regard to hospitality and services and things of that nature. And so, you know, that's kind of the wider context. I always have to go from the county back to the city. So, you know, some of the initiatives that the NAACP has been taking on is to really focus on vehicles for Black homeownership, so that folks can begin to have generational wealth, which has systematically been denied by these systems that I'm talking about. So over the past 2 years, you know, there was a lot of work done to create programming for Black homeownership, grant programs, which is right in line with the recommendations from the National Equity Atlas, mm-hmm. From their report that came out this year, and also from the State Reparations Committee. Unfortunately, that proposal that was put forward was taken out of the process for review for ARPA funding before it ever got a chance to be even reviewed. So we still have barriers at the county level. And again, we haven't had the discussion at the city level. So we will be participating in a listening session with the State Reparations Commission later this month. There is a regional ask from Black organizations through the Bay Area Regional Health and Equities Initiative for a push for a $500 million investment in Black health and housing from the state, because what we're finding is there's still barriers at the local and county level for these reparative programs. So I want to go back to the numbers. The fact that you know, there's this way that we talk about the lack of Black representation in Sonoma Valley is this kind of awkward laugh, like, oh, well, there's not a lot of Black people here. Well, I'm saying that that is by design, and that's been exclusionary, and it's been intentional. And so, you know, it's huge that we were able to even get the numbers out of the portrait of Sonoma. We weren't even represented in the last go-round. Now that we see the numbers, we see that this group of folks, which actually is about 10,000 people, about the size of Cotati, is disproportionately negatively affected by this housing instability and essentially the reduced health outcomes.
Yeah. So
we have a long way to go.
We have a long way to go, but we're starting, which is better than not starting. And for any of our listeners who may not have connected the dots between the lack of inclusion and the health outcomes, Demetra, can you just quickly describe why it is that the health is so negatively impacted by non-inclusive housing policies?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, housing instability is, you know, it's the root of where everything happens from that, right? So if you are housing unstable, or, you know, so much of your income is going towards housing, then you are less likely to be able to afford, you know, healthy food choices. You're less likely to be able to seek and attain the full spectrum health care that you need. You may have transportation issues on top of that. There's stress related to that. And as we know, you know, I mean, it's there's many studies pointing to this. You know, many counties are and cities have declared racism a public health crisis. It literally makes us sick when we are worried about our housing, when we're worried about where our next check will come from, where we're worried about getting eviction. I mean, that affects everybody regardless of race. But again, Black renters are facing the highest housing burden. So, and I'll just give you one quick anecdote. As I mentioned, I'm a business owner and a landlord. I'm not a vacation rental person. I rent long-term to local folks and have ever since the beginning. And I don't rent at market rates because I think they're insane. I'm able to offer an affordable rent to my tenants. You know, when I became a homeowner, there was a box checked when I went over the paperwork. My broker had checked the white box, and I said, I'd like to know why you did that. We didn't discuss this, and you just went ahead and checked this information. And she said, well, you guys look great on paper, but I don't want anything to mess this up. So that happened to me.
Wow.
And you know, I'm a person that was able, you know, I'm a business owner. I had the privilege to be able to buy a home. And she was concerned that my race would derail this entire thing. Mm. So then, if that's happening to me, what happens to somebody who, you know, isn't making a living wage as we're dealing with inflation, as the rents are getting out of control? It's literally making you sick. And there's one study I want to just bring up real quick that was done by Barbie Robinson, the former health department director, through the California Policy Lab, which, you know, showed that Black folks are more than three times as likely to be high utilizers of multiple systems in Sonoma County. So basically that folks are being failed at multiple levels. And that also, you know, the county was cited by HUD with regard to, you know, housing vouchers, that while Black folks made it 30% of the applicants were receiving just 4% of the placements.
Wow.
Again, this is from a county perspective because we have not had the conversation in Sonoma Valley. And that needs to happen. So I'm glad we're having it today. But I think that, you know, unfortunately, the conversation about affordable housing generationally has been, the loudest voices have been, you know, wealthy, white, affluent East Siders, and that generational exclusion is at the root of the current problem that we have today.
So we have a lot to fix. We've been talking with Demetra Smith. She's second vice president for the Santa Rosa Sonoma County NAACP chapter. She's also the former chair of the Sonoma County Commission on Human Rights and co-author of AB 655, the California Law Enforcement Accountability Reform Act, also known as CLEAR. Demetra, thank you for your time today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's been great to have you here. Listeners, we're going to take a quick